Hello and welcome to SMPD, the show where we look back on the cartoons that shaped our childhood. I am Chris Bolton. With me, as always, my partner in podcasting, Mr. Mark Williams.
Hello.
And this episode, we are looking back at a cartoon of a sports team of a movie. It's the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. How did... Like, right, okay. Let's start at the beginning, right? So this is a mid-90s animated show based on the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, who themselves, I may be wrong, I've had zero time to do any research, but from my memory of this, the team was named after the movie, right? Not the other way around.
Yes, that's correct. So you had the Mighty Ducks movie. There was a team in Anaheim, I don't know what they were called, and then they became the Mighty Ducks on the back of the movie. And then on the back of that franchise, you had this, this show that came out of it. So it's a really weird one. It's a really strange sort of hybrid model that came around. Just a bit bizarre, really.
It's very, very odd, isn't it? This whole show is very odd. This is peak Eisner. Like there is,
yes.
We've used his name a lot on this podcast, and. You know, sometimes I give him credit, sometimes I don't. You know, he's a very controversial figure. Generally, I'm a fan of Eisner. But this is peak Eisner high concept. like this is we've got a franchise here. Let's do something with it. Yeah. And it's like, what can we do with it? Well, we can't make a cartoon about hockey because that's not interesting enough. But there's ducks in the name. So let's make them anthropomorphic ducks. And oh, by the way, they come from an alien planet where everybody's ducks and they all play hockey. They're not going to bother having secret identities because they're ducks. And it's the most Eisner thing that ever Eisnered. I don't know how much involvement he actually had with it. Probably not a lot, other than maybe green lighting something, because particularly with the TV divisions,
yeah,
it's where his background sort of lay. But it's certainly the culture of the company at this time is what allows this product to exist, for better or worse. Like this is the most 90s Disney ass thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, I remember watching it when it came about. I think it came about in 95, 96 ish.
It's 96, I think.
Yeah, I know it was the last production on the Disney Afternoon. Mm-hmm. It was the last thing that they before they branched off elsewhere and stopped making the Disney Afternoon. So I know that. I remember it vaguely. I didn't remember any of the stories. I remember some of the character designs. I remember the overarching story of their planet being overrun and them chasing the overlord away. So I remembered that. But then looking at, I put the first one on, I think it was Sunday. And I remember looking and going, fuck, this isn't what I remember at all. And it kind of was, but it kind of wasn't. Now, I'm not a huge hockey fan because I'm not Canadian and I have teeth. It just immediately seemed that this is some fucking hockey nut who's gone, hang on, we've had shows about, I don't know, race cars and football and whatever else. Nobody's done a hockey show, so I want to make a show that's full of hockey puns. And I don't know how to do that. I know, I'll approach Disney about Mighty Ducks. That seems like a good idea. I'll get on with it.
It's mad, isn't it? I don't even think it exists. I don't know. This is pure conjecture on our part. But to me, it literally just feels like they sat around in the boardroom, they're running out of ideas, the Disney Afternoon is winding down, the company's starting to get into some pretty fucking hot water at this time as well. Yeah. Eisner's being challenged for leadership, all sorts of things are going on, and they're going like, we need something, what have we got? Well, the Mighty Ducks did well, okay, but how do we make a cartoon just about a bunch of kids playing hockey? Like, that's not going to sell toys, is it?
Yeah.
So let's make them crime-fighting ducks from outer space. Why the fuck not?
No. My biggest problem with this, before we get too deep with it, is that we've already deja-ed this vu on the show. Mm-hmm. We've done Bike Mice from Mars. We did Cowboys and Moon Mesa. We've done Bucky O'Hare. We've done lots of these very thematically similar but different enough shows, probably in the last 2 years, that I went into it going, oh, okay, I remember this. And then I think I watched 5 or 6 of the 26 episodes. I've gone, yeah, I'm kind of done now. I don't really need to watch anymore.
Yeah, so as you say, we'll get into it. I'm of a similar mindset. You know, this is another one of those anthropomorphic crime-fighting animal team shows. We've done, as you say, a whole raft of them of varying qualities, to be honest. You know, your mileage may vary, but for instance, we thought Pike and Mice from Mars was dog shit. Moo Mesa was surprisingly good. Samurai Pizza Cats wipes the floor with all of them. You know, and then of course you've got your evergreen Turtles. No pun intended there. But this kind of, it's just another one of those, isn't it? And that's the problem. I don't think it's a bad one. And incidentally, I have very little actual memory of this. So I remember I remember this existing, but I was old enough when this came out. Like I would have been 15 going on 16 when this came out.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the movies, really loved the movies. But I just remember this coming out and thinking, oh, cool, a Mighty Ducks TV show, and seeing it and going like, no, this
is not Mighty Ducks.
This isn't the And I was old enough to be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah.
Like, we went to Florida shortly after that as well. I think we did a Florida trip in '97, and I remember this being just all over studios. There was like Mighty Ducks posters and Mighty Ducks merch just everywhere. So I knew of it. I knew what it was. I just didn't really have a connection to it. So this is like, I had seen it before. It wasn't like I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
But I didn't really have the baggage. A bit like you with Tellybugs last week. So, or last month, rather. So I kind of went into it with, like, I tried to keep an open mind. Like, knowing it does come with baggage.
Yeah.
Just because you know it's one of those shows. It's as simple as that. It's another one of those shows. So it's got to it's got to work hard to elevate itself, and unfortunately, it doesn't. Some stuff it does. I think it does really, really well, and some stuff really fucking grated on me. The humor in this, I don't even know if it was funny then. It's certainly not now. Not funny now. Like the fourth wall breaking, especially, is horrible. And has no place in this show, because it just encourages you to not take the show seriously, which is a problem, you know, because if I'm not taking it seriously and it's about crime fighting ducks from outer space, then, you know, you're in a pretty hot predicament there, because like if I can't buy into this fucking thing, then it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. So I didn't like the fourth wall breaking. The humor itself is very of its time. It's very 90s. The characters are all very 90s. So none of that stood up. However, I think the actual episode to episode writing of it and the stories were as good as anything else. They were as good as any of those other shows. In that they ticked the boxes that they needed to tick. You know, there's a sort of an arc with what's Tim Curry's character, Dragonus, isn't it? With Dragonus trying to get hold of them, and you've got these recurring villains, and you've got, you know, plenty of work for character and stuff in there as well. So it's all fine. The writing's all fine other than that. And the action sequences, I think, are actually really fucking good.
I'd agree with that.
Again, for their time. There are shows that were doing better action sequences, animated shows with better action sequences this time, but there's certainly a lot fucking worse as well.
Yes.
And, you know, being a Disney product, even though it was by this point they were shipping these out, so I, again, zero time for research this week, unfortunately, listeners, but I can say with 99% certainty, without having to look it up, this was probably shipped out to China, I would imagine.
Probably.
Because they were shipping a hell of a lot out at this time. Studios were wrapping up. They weren't really doing a lot in-house. And certainly I know a lot of those Disney afternoon shows towards the end were just getting outsourced. So I imagine it was outsourced, but it's still, even when they were outsourcing shows, Disney always had that Disney look. It's always got that stamp of quality about it. And this is very much the same. The look is in the color palette, it's in the lighting choices, and it's in the character design. And that never goes away. And the animation, even though it's shipped out, is as fluid as you would expect for a Disney show. Like, it's not A-grade movie animation, but it is good.
So, but it's better than a lot of what was coming out of other studios and other production houses at the time.
Certainly, And, you know, even with the company being in not the best financial situation at this point, and with the afternoon block wrapping up then, as you were saying, like, they've still spunked the money on the cast as well. Like, you know, this isn't a bunch of nobodies here. I mean, like I just mentioned, Tim Curry is in this fucking thing. I mean, that's what you get for being Disney. Like, they have
Yeah, there's a certain pull to the name.
There's pull to the name, and there's this certain cast that are just kind of on retainer, essentially. You know, at this time, Tim Curry was doing extensive VO work with Disney. You know, he was the fucking... This was around the time he was the fucking evil wardrobe in Beauty and the Beast's Enchanted Christmas as well. That's a whole thing, listeners. I think we're going to have to do that one Christmas.
Yeah, I think we are.
Because that's a whole fucking thing. You think this show's fucking nuts. That thing. It's like a fucking fever dream, that. But, you know, you've also got Brad Garrett in here. You've got Jennifer Hale. You know, you've got an incredibly talented...
Jim Belushi is a recurring cast member as well, which I hadn't realised. I knew the voice, as I fucking know who that is. It took me ages to work out who it was.
Yeah, he's the manager, isn't he?
Yeah. But then you go sort of further down the roster as well, and you get into the Rose Gallery. You've got... you've got your usual suspects from within Disney. You've got Rob Paulsen and Tres McNeil and people like that. But you've also got David Hyde. Pierce pops up as one of the villains. At this point, he's sort of just getting sort of probably 2-3 years into Frasier, so people know who he is now. People start recognizing him. And there's a lot of people like that who've come up and through on the back of this, and a lot of people who are already doing this ad nauseum anyway.
Yeah, and then so
it's a good old cast.
Yeah, you've got your stalwarts as well that pop up every now and again that aren't regulars, but you know, you got Jim Cummins in there, you got Frank Welker in there, you got Charlie Adler in there. You know, it's like a who's who of voice talent for this era. So, you know, everybody involved clearly knows what they're doing. The problem with this is that, and I say problem like as if like I'm not about to jump all over its dick. Like, it's not bad. I do not, by any stretch of the imagination, think this show is bad. I just think that there are a lot of very talented people involved just doing something that no one really gives a fuck about.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I think even the people involved are probably going, and what is this again? They're ducks and they play hockey.
Why are they ducks?
Why
hockey, not football?
Yeah, and like, why is the hockey such a... Because there's a whole thing when they go to like the duck world.
Yeah, it's puck world.
It's puck world, yeah. And they're all playing hockey and everything revolves around
it's like
hockey.
It's their way of life, isn't it? It's like it's their religion.
Yeah, which, look, that's fine as a concept, but it just needs... Anything's fine as a concept if you're willing to put the work in, right? You could do what you like, but I feel like it just needs a bit more exploration, other than just, there's a hockey team, so let's just make hockey a thing. You know, this is the kind of shit that we got in Madballs when we looked at that. And it was just, they're a band. Why are they a band? Because they are. Because they are. Kids are stupid. They'll accept that. Yeah. You know, and that's not quite enough. You know, particularly when there's actually a lot that goes into the backstory of these characters. They do the work in that two-part opener. Like, they do the work. These are all, I wouldn't say they're fully rounded characters, but we understand who all of these are. Like, they tick your standard boxes. You got the leader, you got the wise ass, you got the loner, you got the token girl, you've got the nerd, you know, you've got...
Yeah. But also you've got sort of the reluctant hero as well, coming into the role and all that sort of tropes. You've got there's enough room, enough work has gone into the backstory, but there's enough room for all of them to grow.
Yes, definitely. So,
and I think that, I mean, from what I've seen, that sort of comes through, certainly with... I can't remember the leader's name already. They start with him and the whole thing of, you know, him taking the mask I can't do names tonight. Brain isn't functioning today.
So it's Wildwing, Mark.
I want to say Nightwing, and I knew that was wrong. You've got that straight away where he doesn't want to accept the mask, mm-hmm. and he won't take it and he won't use it because they're going to find him and they're going to bring him back. And then he realized, actually, no, we need a leader now. So it was given to me. I'm gonna grow into that role. And even once you get out of those first two episodes, you start moving into the wider arc and the longer game. There's still elements of that. He's still finding his feet. So he's trying to lead, but actually he doesn't know how to stop them arguing.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to unite the team. He doesn't know how to sort of get his point across, make his opinion the one that matters. And he's growing into that. And I think that's a really interesting part of that. And I don't know how... I haven't had a chance to watch all 26. I've watched probably about half a dozen, if that. There's certainly a lot that can be explored then. It looked like they were going to do that going through. And the only thing I'm slightly regretting is I'm not going to have time to watch it and see if that does pay off. But also, I don't really want to watch another 20 episodes of this.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably done about half the total run. I've jumped around a bit. I haven't necessarily watched them all in sequence. I watched the first three or four, and then I started jumping about.
Yeah, I did the same.
They don't explore it in any real depth. I wouldn't say there's massive character growth for anybody, but the backstory is there for the jumping off. Like they aren't just a bunch of tropes. I'll give it that. Like they are tropey, but they're more than the sum of their parts. You know, and then there are some really interesting characters as well. I think Duke is a phenomenal character, like really well designed from the get go. His voice is odd to me. Like that's a choice to have him go kind of slightly kind of Bronx-y almost, as opposed to the character looks like he should be
French,
right? Yeah, it's not just me then. He looks like he should be French or more kind of Cajun, at least. Like, that's... He feels like he should be Gambit, right? That's...
Yeah.
Because that's kind of who he is, right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting addition to the team. That's a kind of... I mean, he ticks the loner card, but that's kind of... It's a different angle, you know? He's not your standard Raphael or somebody with a...
Yeah.
With a temper. He's just like, well, no, I'm a loner because I'm actually a fucking criminal.
Like, yeah.
I'm with you guys because you're part of the resistance and I'm not an arsehole, but I am a fucking criminal. And like, you are constantly reminded of that. Like, they will, you know, there's trust elements there with the rest of the group with him as well. You know, they'll have digs about the fact that he's a renowned jewel thief and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I just thought he's a very interesting character. I would watch a show about him.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
There's
he's probably the only one there. I would.
Agreed. Because the rest, to be honest, most of the rest of them fucking boil my piss.
Like, yeah, they're kind of identical.
Yeah.
90s cartoon heroes.
But they're annoying. Excuse me, this is one of the weather this week. I'm trying to mute my microphone whenever I cough or sneeze.
Yeah.
It's not always going to work, so I apologize.
I did it a lot last week.
Yeah, I apologize. There's just a lot of sickness going around at the moment.
Yeah.
I can hear it in my own voice. Yeah, they annoy the piss away. Particularly Nosedive just needs to fuck off. Like, I would watch more of this show if Nosedive wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And the problem
it's almost... It's kind of the... Everybody did it to an extent, and I think this is possibly the worst example I've seen of it for a while. But it was the... It's the imitation Mikey.
Yes,
it's
the one exactly who's, what it is.
Who's young, hey, he's dudes. Playing for the younger audience. He's the... You know, and there's a very meta joke. I think it's in the third episode where they've got him and Duke are arguing over the girl. He's talking about him skewing to a younger demographic. And it's like, okay, it's a meta joke, and I'm kind of here for that because I like that shit anyway. But it just doesn't fly with this character. And it's just... It's that one that's supposed to be the most relatable to kids.
Yes.
But written by somebody who's never fucking spoken to a child.
This is the thing. He feels, and I bet he did in the 90s as well, looking back. He certainly feels it now, and I bet he does in the 90s as well. He's kind of the animated equivalent of that Steve Buscemi meme, where he's like,
yes.
You know, hey, kids, and he's got his fucking skateboard and his backwards baseball cap. You know, hello, fellow children, or whatever it is. Like, he's
fellow youths.
Yeah, that's it. He's got that about him, hasn't he? Of like, I can talk like the kids. I can be down with the kids. It's definitely a middle-aged boardroom kind of interpretation of what a hip teenager was in the 90s.
Yeah,
and it's cringeworthy. The fourth wall breaking, if everybody did it, it would be fine. But the fact that it's only ever really him that does it, and it's always for some cheap, snide, throwaway gag, it just makes him... He's so smug. And that's the problem with the humour in this. The humour is all very smug. And I just don't like it.
It's either smug or it's condescending and mocking. If you look at the way in the first two episodes where you've got... the manager, his name is Phil, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He's taken to the taken downtown by the detective, and he's given us all the backstory, which is again it's a far more interesting way of doing it than just going here you go, their planet died and bang.
Yep.
So telling it as a story, I thought that was really good. But the way the detective is portrayed, he's always eating junk, he's putting ketchup on his donuts, and it's just there to mock and to sort of show how out of touch this person is, and just to set him up as being different from Phil, who's also inept and out of his depth, but he's slightly cooler to go with it because he's on the right side of it. And it just felt a little bit uncomfortable insofar as it's like this sort of almost thumbing their nose. I get these shows. There's always an element, because they're vigilantes, there's always going to be an element of thumbing their nose of authority, but it's almost as if it's like, well, actually, none of it fucking matters anymore because they're all idiots and we'll just do what we like. And then you wonder why shit like Rodney King happens. Because you have anarchy, because the way authority figures are presented, it gives rise to the fact that they're all inept, they're all useless, and they're probably all in the fucking take as well.
Wow, that's a jump.
it's been a week.
Yeah. But no, you're right. I think there's definitely... I mean, that detective character really fucking bugs me as well, because he has no reason whatsoever to dislike these ducks.
No.
Right, but he's... Because this is what you do in these shows, he has a vendetta against them, because that's what you do. He's instantly just mistrusting of the other, because that's how you tick that box. That's how all of these animal shows work. But it doesn't make sense for his character, because they're not operating in the shadows. They're not like these mysterious vigilantes. They're not trying to disguise their identities. They literally show up in full hockey gear with their faces exposed and beat up bad guys.
And they make a joke about it in this. I think it's the second episode where they talk about secret. He said, "Oh, you blew our secret identities. We're the only fucking talking ducks on the planet. What secret identities?"
Yeah,
and it's like, on one hand, again, it's a very clever sort of joke within a joke, but actually, it just sets up that they're not trying to hide. They're not doing anything as subversive or anything like that. They're literally going, "Oh well, the police can't do it. We'll do it."
Yeah, for no good reason either, by the way. That's the another thing I struggled with. I get that on their own planet, they're freedom fighters and they're members of the resistance. I get that. But then why do they just suddenly come to Earth and are like vigilantes? Like,
well, they tried to sort of half explain it away. I think it was in that first two-parter where they're driving along and it's either Duke or Grin says, he sees somebody sees a couple getting mugged in an alleyway.
Yeah, there's a mugging. Yeah.
And he's like, if we don't do anything, then we're just as bad as the other side. And it's so thrown away. And it takes them about half a second to go, yeah, you're right, fuck it, why not?
Yeah, but I think that's fine if you're driving past and you witness a mugging. Like, I think, excuse me, I think most of us would like to think in that situation we'd help out somehow. Some of us would be more capable than others. You know, I'm not sure I could take down a mugger, but I could certainly go for help or something like that.
If I was in the car, I could. In the mugger.
I mean, it depends. It depends on the situation, right? I'd like to think I'd have a go. I'd be a have a go hero, right? I think most of us would like to think that. So that's fine as they're doing it in passing. But then to continually do that ongoing.
But that's what I mean. It's sort of almost thrown away. It's like that was their conscious choice, and now they've done it once. It's like they have to do it. They can't not do it anymore.
Yeah, and you know there are. You know, they do get better at that as the show goes on, because they bring antagonists to them. You know, there are mad doctors who want to cut them up and experiment on them, and Dragonis shows up time and time again. And so, there is that. It's not like they're fucking Batman going out looking for crime, but that's how they're presented initially. So that's a bit fucking odd. Then there's just the hockey thing in general, and the way everybody's just willing to accept that the hockey team have now... just been replaced by a bunch of ducks, and they changed the name from the frogs to the ducks, and all of a sudden it's just such a leap. And then the humor tries to layer on top of that by there's a lot of insider baseball in this humor. There's a lot of Hollywood industry talk. There's a lot of jokes about Phil being the agent and skew into a demographic, and there's a lot of marketing jokes. And again, that's very, very Eisner. Like, he loves this shit. Like, he loves airing dirty laundry. It's all over anything he touches. You know, if you look at just do a deep dive on what is now California Adventure. Just do a deep dive on the history of that park, which was Eisner's baby, and just look at the amount of ridiculous insider fucking jokes that were in there, and the absolute travesty that came out of it, because it just doesn't connect with the public, because most of us don't work in the fucking film industry.
Yeah.
And that's a problem here. You know, this is that writ large. It's like, I've got 30 minutes a week or 20 minutes a week to make gags at the industry's expense. Well, no one cares, and particularly not in a fucking duck action show. Like, if you're going to make gags in this show, they need to be duck puns. That's the level this needs to operate at. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, it can't be smarter than that. You know, that's what it needs
to be. And again, I think that it needs that, because the way it's laid out, it's a fucking hockey pun machine, which is fine if you understand hockey. 90% of the world don't fucking play hockey.
No.
The other 10% couldn't give a fuck.
No. I do like hockey as it goes, but even to me, like, it just doesn't do anything for me. Like,
no.
Because the jokes aren't based around hockey. Like, there is the odd pun. There's things like Puck World and stuff like that. And some of the action sequences, you know, they do, like, call plays out and, you know, they've all got
and their guns all fire pucks and shit like that as well.
Yeah, so there's all of that. But then,
and I think in the first couple of episodes, there were a lot more puns than I noticed later on. I think I jumped around. I did the first three, and then I jumped sort of halfway through, and then later on as well. And they did seem to die off a little bit, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's just, whereas, no, if your characters are ducks, then that's where you aim your humour. That's where you aim your puns, because everybody can see, even if ducks aren't a thing where you're from, you can see the ducks on the fucking screen.
Yeah, and short of some of the character names, there aren't that many duck puns at all. And even the hockey puns are wasted, like particularly for, you know, a show it's an action show anyway, so it's always going to skirt around the censors. The fact that you've got hockey puns and they don't utilize puck you, puck off.
Yeah.
It's kids' cartoon. Kids will love that.
That was amazing.
Puck you, they would be eating out of your hands. You know, if you drop that as the catchphrase. Parents are going to complain about it, but you'll get past the censors. It's absolutely
Chris, you build on that as well, because, you know, they all played for their college, which was Puck U.
Totally, right?
Simples.
Yeah, you know, so that's a massively wasted opportunity. So I don't like the jokes at all.
No, the humour doesn't land. I think it's very niche and, it's just unnecessary in a lot of places.
Not only does it not land, it actively turns me off the show. I think that's... Like you said about watching all 20, I don't think I can do it. And the only reason is because it grates on me so much. Like, on a base level, as an action cartoon, it's absolutely fine. Like, it's not brilliant, but I could certainly sit down and watch 26 episodes of it if I had the time. Like, in all honesty, I'm probably going to watch something else. But if I had the time, it wouldn't bother me to sit down and watch 26 episodes, were it not for the horrendously smarmy, smug, insider baseball, fourth wall breaking shit jokes, which are just, they're horrible. They're so, so bad. And it just really grates after 5 minutes or so, to be honest. Yeah. You're just like, oh, I've had enough of this now.
Yeah, because I think it was very early on in the first episode where they did the first fourth wall break. Oh, it wasn't early on in the episode, but it was when Phil's retelling the story about how Puck World was overrun by the overlords and stuff. And you get this thing, and it's not a spoken one, it's a visual one, whereby all these robots are sort of tramping past the camera, and they're all looking ahead, they're all following people, and one tramps it past and turns to look at the camera, and its eyes glow, and then it cuts off the ad break. And that was the first one I thought, oh, fuck, really? That's just a bit numb. You could see it coming, as a relatively semi-literate person, you can see that coming a mile off, because you can see the way it's been framed, but you're thinking... What's the reason for doing that? What's the motivation for doing that? Other than it takes you to an ad break.
Yeah. It's
and there's so much of that. And I think once I noticed that one, it became apparent that it was fucking constant.
Yeah. And that never goes away throughout every episode I've watched. And like I said, I've jumped about as well. The storylines are, I mean, some of them, I'll be honest, are flat out ripped from other shows.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Like, and again, you know, the quality of the writing is fine, gags aside, but the actual plot, they're just like, oh, there was an episode of Ninja Turtles where they did that, so we'll copy that. There was one particularly egregious one that I watched, reminded me, and it's only because we've watched Speed Racer fairly recently. I say fairly recently, it was probably about a year ago. But when we were watching New Adventures of Speed Racer, there was an episode there where there's like a Stepford Wives episode where they all end up in that town and everybody's robots. And they do the literal, it is beat for beat the fucking same, from the car breaking down to everybody having their kind of counterpart that they start getting on really well with, and it turns out they're a robot and they all get invited for dinner and all the robots turn on them, and it's like it's the same, it's just got ducks instead of Speed Racer.
I didn't see that one.
It's the same episode, it's so egregious.
I was flicking through some of the episode summaries before we started, just so I haven't gone through them all. And I was going, oh, I've seen that. Wasn't that a Turtles episode? Wasn't that a... names are gone. But there are a couple of shows I'm thinking, I'm sure I've seen something like that before. I know, I mean, fuck, if they're still in my head 30 years later, then, you know, there's obviously something jarring about it. I can read a couple of sentences and go, oh, hang on, you've ripped that off.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your standards as well that most shows rip off, but again, this one just does it shamelessly. You know, you've got your misunderstood, like bad guy, hired assassin type bad guy who just doesn't understand what's going on, starts off playing the wrong side and then flips. You've got that. You've got reprogrammed robots that are brought in to take them out. You've got you've seen this a million times in a million other shows. And I think if you're going to do that, like, look, this is the fucking mid-90s. These shows are everywhere. So obviously there's going to be crossover.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going to do that, you need to go one or two ways with it, right? You either have to absolutely not give a fuck whatsoever what you're churning out and it's just a cash grab.
Yeah.
I don't think this is quite that.
No.
I don't think it's far off. Yeah, but I don't think it's quite that. Or, you know, I think it's got enough self-respect to try. But then if you're going to try and do that, because you're ripping things off like so blatantly, you have to be at the top of your game. Like you have to be better than what you're ripping off. And this doesn't accomplish that. It falls in this no man's land in the middle. And that doesn't help it at all. But like I said, I don't think it's too far off just the shameless cash grab either. That's my personal opinion on it. It very much feels like we need to shift some toys. What can we do?
Yeah.
You know?
Is that what can we do that's new that people haven't seen before within our product?
Well, you can
that will sell, and because then you can tie that in because you've got people will take their kids to hockey, and if you're selling the merch from the cartoon at Anaheim when you go to watch the hockey, you're telling me the fucking 7-8-year-old Chris isn't going, I want one of them.
Well, I mean, part of the thing with Mighty Ducks even today, you know, it's that logo is iconic, and they just use the Ducks logo, right? And so again, it's just like, okay, well, this is another way we can leverage that because it doesn't belong to the hockey team, belongs to us. So we will leverage that. And then there's also the kind of double hitter as well, which again is you can just hear the boardroom conversation. You can hear like, oh, well, look, the Mighty Ducks did really well as a movie. What can we do? We can do a cartoon, okay. But it doesn't work with kids. All our duck shows are popular. You know, we got DuckTales, we got Darkwing Duck, we got like Donald the Lazy Duck, like with the Duck Company. Let's
have some mouse, but with a duck company.
Yeah, let's make a like we draw ducks really well. We draw ducks better than anybody. Like that's what we do. So don't come at me, Daffy fans. He's just don't.
Oh, fuck off.
He's not as good as Donald, right?
No,
just don't even try. But you know, you can kind of see that thinking, especially if it's being outsourced as well. And they just want it quickly. You can see, like, well, we've kind of got the mock-up sheets for this already. Like, the character design work is mostly done, right? Because we can just take the duck designs that we've got, slap some hockey gear on them, like, and we're golden. Like, it's done. So, I get it. And this, as usual, this is all conjecture on our part.
I'm
sure there probably is quite a lot written about this show. I'm just, as you can tell, listeners, ill as fuck.
I've not had a chance to look.
The way our schedule has worked out, just because we've had to do some chopping around on the other show, like I'm watching two shows back to back at the moment for SMPD, so I haven't had time to do the research that I would normally do. So this is all conjecture. It's not an excuse on my part, by the way. That's just fucking the way
it's
it
just
is.
How it works. Like,
so if I'm wrong, just come at me and tell me. You're getting this from the heart. So it's all conjecture, but I don't see that we're going to be too far wrong. Knowing what I do know about the Disney company in this era, which is quite a lot, it's kind of my thing. So, I think it's a pretty good guess, if I'm honest. and it's writ pretty large here. It's all over, like, Disney Plus, which surprised me. I thought this was going to be difficult to find. But again, it speaks volumes of what the company have put into it, that they're like, you can get this on Disney Plus, no problem. There are some other shows, Disney shows from this era, that you cannot find on Disney Plus that you should be able to. Yeah. But this fucking thing, yeah, definitely. You want to watch Mighty Ducks series? Watch it. Can't watch The Little Mermaid show on Disney Plus? No, can't have that. Can't have the old Lion King cartoons? No, you can't have those. But you can fucking have this pile of shit. Like, well, no, that's unfair. It's not a pile of shit.
It's not a pile of shit, but it's not the upper end of what we had from Disney at the time, is it?
Definitely in terms of the Disney afternoon, it's the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
and in terms of Disney television animation in general, like it's pretty close to the bottom of the barrel. I can't think of much that comes below it, if I'm honest. I'm even including Disney Junior stuff in that. Like I can't think of much that comes below this. I watch a lot of fucking Disney Junior now, listeners. So some of it's all right.
Some of it's not bad.
Yeah, some of it's fucking terrible, but some of it's all right. And it's only terrible because I'm an adult. It's not that it's bad quality. It's just...
Yeah, it's just because you're the wrong side of 40 watching it.
Yeah, look, I love that fucking mouse, but there's only so much Mickey Mouse Clubhouse an adult can watch without going fucking insane.
Yep. Like... And that fucking hot dog song, once that gets in there, Jesus.
Oh, don't. Thanks for that. That's there now.
So twice in 2 days?
Yeah, between that and you putting Uncle Fucker in my head yesterday, like, you got some revenge coming. So, yeah, I just feel like this is... It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of the shows we watch, when they're bad, they're generally bad because they come from... Like, a lot of the times it'll be like a Deke product or it'll be a Hanna-Barbera or something like that. And it'll come from... I don't want to rubbish them because, you know, those production studios do make some quite good shows as well. They mix with the good and the bad. But in general, you know, when you get in your Deeks and things like that, there's a lot of output. There's lots of shit that comes out of there. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so you can understand how you get the occasional just complete pile of just random wank. Because they just need a show. They just get something out there. And they produce them cheaply and they spunk it out. Yeah. And it's however many episodes and then, you know, move on to the next. But this is Disney, and you expect better.
As I say, Disney don't tend to do that, or certainly didn't tend to do that, and this is what that feels like.
Yeah, and like I say, even in the high concept era, you know, you don't get a DuckTales without that era. You don't get, you know, without them sitting around going, well, we should do something with the ducks. We've got them, right? And Mickey's Christmas Carol was popular. What
Same as
we
Chip
do?
And Dale.
Yeah.
Let's turn them into Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, and again, it's that Eisner high concept era. But I feel like those shows committed...
Yeah,
at a level that this doesn't is the
but
difference.
I think again they were earlier and they were there was other stuff around, but we hadn't had the saturation yet. By the time this came around, I mean, fucking DuckTales was what, 8 years out the gate at this point.
Yeah, but you know, even if you track it all the way through, right? Like, and we shouldn't be surprised, like I say, because the company has plenty of previous for bonkers fucking ideas at this point, right? You just mentioned you've got Rescue Rangers, you've got DuckTales. Somebody went, hey, Goofy's popular. Let's put him in a fucking middle-aged family sitcom and make Goof Troop. Yeah. What the fuck? And then there's the sheer fucking lunacy that is Tailspin.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Like, this is mad. Like, somebody went, why don't we take Baloo and King Louie, who are enemies... And put them together, and we'll drop Shere Khan in there as well, and they can all operate a cargo freight business on fucking biplanes and seaplanes.
Yep.
What? Hey? But again, we've got these characters. They're popular. What can we do with them?
Yeah.
But I think part of the difference as well is those shows rely on those existing characters in a way. Like, we've talked about this quite a lot on the shows, where it's like they are, particularly when you get a cartoon superstar of the level of a Goofy or a Mickey or a Chip and Dale, even a Scrooge McDuck, they're actors playing roles. Is the thing. They can be anybody. Mickey Mouse can be anybody. Donald Duck can be anybody. They're actors.
Yeah.
But because this is a completely new thing, like if this was Donald Duck in the Mighty Ducks, I think it gets a pass on many levels.
Even to the extent where you had Donald would sporadically pop up in DuckTales.
Yes.
Just to remind people he's there and it's part of that world,
it's
part of
that
universe.
World and that universe, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fine. You don't need him to sell, you don't need him to be in every episode, you don't need him to be part of every episode, but you need him to sell that product in the first place.
And again, if this was set in that, you know, if it was set in Duckburg, rather than, I know that means they're not the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, but that I think, again, that's part of the problem of it, that obsession to set it in our world so it can be in Anaheim. And we're close to LA and we can skewer Hollywood and we can skewer the industry and have a pop at the biz.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's just so much in here, isn't there? Because it's got all of that. It's got the sport. It's got the aliens. It's got the action. It's like, whoa, guys, let's just pump the brakes. Dial this back a bit. What do we want?
You can have
here?
A show with any one of those. You don't need to have
you
all
don't
fucking
need
three.
All of them. Yeah. You don't need to fucking throw just because you're ending the block and you're struggling a bit, you don't have to throw the entire fucking kitchen sink at it. Like, it's mad. This show is just mad. It's all over the fucking place, isn't it?
Yeah.
But somehow, it's not terrible. That's the bit I can't work out. It isn't good. I can't say it's good, and I wouldn't say to people, watch Mighty Ducks.
No.
But it's not terrible either.
No, there are redeeming features to it. I mean, some take the gags out, and the storytelling is actually pretty good. Some of the writing is good. Some of the dialogue is fucking awful. It looks fine. As I said, it's never going to be top tier feature animation quality, but it's Disney TV, so it looks fine. You know, you look at the voice cast and the talent involved, that's fine. So, you know, there's quality there. And you think, the elements are all here. It's just something about it doesn't work.
It's just too much. It's too much. It's too large. It's too 90s. It's too Eisner. It's just too much. It's far too much. And it's a shame, because actually I do think if it was dialed back, I think there's a kernel of something here. They just flush it down the toilet. And that's why it didn't go anywhere. I don't remember this going absolutely anywhere. Like I say, it was everywhere for about a year. Like there was
only had 26 episodes.
I don't remember like figures. I don't really remember annuals or anything like that. I'm not even sure there was a game, which is a given because you can make a hockey game out of this.
Yeah.
Maybe there was something on the Game Boy at this time.
I was going to say there might have been, but it's an easy one because you can make a hockey game out of it, or you can make an action game out of it where they've gone around with their fucking hockey stick saving the day.
Yeah, there's so many things you could have done with it.
That's not to say there wasn't, because I say it's pretty much a given, wasn't it, that you had merch?
I mean, there will have been merch because it's Disney. Like they are not passing that opportunity up, I promise.
No, God, no.
I fucking bet you can still buy merch today.
Probably. Well, you certainly buy the shirts with the logo on, can't you?
Well, yeah, but that's because that's the hockey team. This is the thing. You can probably buy merch with these characters on.
Oh, probably, yeah.
If you can't buy it today, you certainly would have been able to buy it very recently. Well, I mean, Disneyland at the moment have a 90s night at least once a year. Disney Afternoon is a big part of that. They bring out Darkwing. They bring out, you know, Chip and Dale in Rescue Ranger outfits. Like, so you can guarantee, you know, and they have exclusive merch at that event as well. So you can guarantee that this shows up somewhere. There definitely would have been merch. I get the impression there are probably some people out there. There's probably a very small group out there for whom, like, they are super dedicated to this. I think this is that type of show that it'll have a super hardcore fan base. That's what it feels like to me. And for everybody else, it's just like, yeah. I think it does enough that there are going to be a small group of people who are exactly the right age and had exactly the right interests when this came out to really fucking get into it. And then there's all of the rest of us who are just like, that's another one of them. It's just another one of them. And even, like we said, it's the bottom of the Disney Afternoon barrel. I think even amongst those kind of animated animal crime fighting shows, it's probably one of the worst. It's definitely, I'd watch it over Biker Mice the Mars from Mars. I don't think I'd watch it over Moo Mesa though.
No, probably not.
Definitely not over Samurai Pizza Cats.
No.
And definitely not over Turtles.
No, exactly.
We may have done more than that, but those are the ones that are springing to mind.
The other one that springs to mind, because it's so totally similar, with Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah, no, I get that as well.
It's not the same, but it kind of is.
It's the tone of it. Even the writing and the smug writing, Bucky O'Hare does that, but it does it because it's that space opera serial style. It works there. It fits. Because again, it's like we're saying about dialing this down. That's what Bucky O'Hare does.
Yeah.
It does. It knows what it is. It's a sci-fi space opera, and it's serialized.
Yeah.
And it's so laser focused on his commitment to being that. Whereas this is like, well, it's a sports show and a duck show and a crime fighting show and an alien show and a no.
Yeah.
I'll take Bucky O'Hare over this any day of the week.
Yeah.
But I think that is a slightly,
it's not quite,
it's a further reaching comparison.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
Turtles. You know, if anything, you could probably, if you wanted to step outside the realms of those kind of traditional anthropomorphic animal shows, you could probably compare this more to something like Cops that we've watched recently.
Yeah.
Something like that, where you've got this kind of crime-fighting team.
Yeah.
But it's weird, isn't it? Because it's on its own, because it's so fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
But then it's just such a bog-standard, generic take on what these characters could be that, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is this is so mad that I wanted to fully commit to his lunacy, like properly go all in on this and distance itself, and that's what it doesn't do. It constantly tries to fit back into that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ripoff mode.
Yeah. And I think, were this to have come from another developer, so were this to have not been Disney, but were this to have come out of something like Cartoon Network or the Nick stuff at the time, you'd have had that sort of more frenetic, crazier, lean into the fucking idiocy of it and just see where it goes. And I think you've got a better product for it as well. Whereas because it's Disney, it's always going to be a lot more sanitized.
Yes and no, I think. I think you're right. I think the tone would be different, and I think they would try and push it a bit more and get away with more. But I just don't think this could exist in any other culture than the Disney of the 90s. It is such a 90s Disney product. It really is. Like, everything about it just feels like that floundering company, you know, that mega franchise, that mega corporation that had just lost his way. And the answer was just throw as much at the wall as you can. Just do it. Just try it. Try everything you can. And I think were it made by Nick or Cartoon Network, you would end up with something closer to a Bucky O'Hare. It would be more, not dialed in, but it would certainly be more focused, yeah. I would say, than what this is. But it's not, because it's 90s Disney, and they're just like, fuck it. And that, look, I sound like I'm criticizing them for the millionth time on this podcast. I am a huge fan of this era. I think they work incredibly well when they're under this kind of pressure. You know, this was a misfire. But look at those other names we've thrown out. Fucking Goof Troop, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales. Look at all the other shit that comes out of that. Yeah. You know? So I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying I just don't think this product would exist anywhere else. I just don't see it happening. But either way, what we're left with is one of the weirdest fucking things I've seen on this podcast, and that's saying something with some of the shows we've watched. I don't think I can watch anymore. I think you're right.
I haven't got it in me.
No, I haven't either. And it's just because there are other things to watch, and there are better things than what to watch. Like I said, I've watched this back to back with what is going to be our next show, because we're recording these shows fairly close together because of our schedule. And the problem is, every time I'm going to sit down and watch something of the two shows, I'm like, I'd much rather watch the other one. I don't want to watch Mighty Ducks. I want to watch the other one. And that's been a bit of a problem this week, because I was aware that this one was up first. But I'm just like, I'd really rather watch the other one. But I mean, more on that next week, I guess, listeners, when we record that. I don't have too much more to say about it. It's a fucking mad hodgepodge of a bunch of different ideas, and none of them are fully formed, and none of it really gels. And it's a quality product. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I just think that absolutely no one, as I said back at the start, I don't think a single fucking person working on this show, not the writers, not the directors, not the voice cast, I don't think a single fucking person working on this show knew what it was supposed to be.
No. No.
So we as an audience don't know what it's supposed to be either.
Yeah. So. No, I had it on in the living room earlier on today. So number two had a swimming lesson, and for a change, I didn't have to take him. So I'm sat in the living room watching. Number one came in and went, what the fuck is this? Turned around and walked off again.
Fair play.
I was like, okay, fair enough. Obviously didn't work for you. I'm sitting there thinking, on the one hand, I'm thinking, where did that come from? But also, I kind of agree with you, because it's just something and nothing. It looks weird. And yeah, from what I think the one scene she saw, she went, yeah, no, I'm going out. And that was it. And she disappeared back upstairs to play fucking Candy Crush or whatever she was doing on her phone for the next hour.
You've just been properly judged. It's the thing. She's walked in, she's kind of like, oh, Dad, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, at least it wasn't what we were watching last week.
True, yeah. Could be worse.
But yeah, it's just one of those. And like, sometimes we talk about, there's some shows where I think, actually, I could put this on and either she or number two or both of them might get something out of it. This one, I was sitting there going, fucking, there's another 10 minutes or something left.
Yeah, and they're only short as well. They're only
22 minutes, I think.
But yeah, you do time check a lot, don't you? I did as well. Yeah.
It was one of those. I can't remember which episode it was, but I was only halfway through. I thought, oh, fucking hell, can I be arsed?
That's the thing, isn't it?
It was the D&D episode, which I stuck on because I thought that might be quite interesting.
I skipped that one because it sounded like a D&D ripoff. I was just like, I don't want to do it.
For that reason, I thought I'll give it a go. I'll put it on, and that was the last one I watched. I think I got about 15 minutes in. I thought, oh, fuck, I can't be arsed. I've got other things to do.
Yeah, and it's... I think the problem is, like, we did Tellybugs last, right? And we talked about how short Tellybugs was.
Yeah.
But actually how its economy of storytelling was such that it could tell that little action story in 5 minutes. Because it didn't fuck around with anything else. It was just like, here's a very simple problem that the Tellybugs can fix using some fucking Deus Ex Machina of the week that they've got. Yeah. That there's some program that they work up. So they go and there's a bit of a fight and they fix it. And inside of 5 minutes, you've told a very concise, very short action story, and then those would build up to a serial over the week.
Yeah.
This is the exact opposite of that. This is like, how long can we take to tell a very, very simple, because every week is the same. There's always some sort of MacGuffin, or they need to just reset the status quo. It's very basic action stuff, right?
Yeah.
But they choose to dress that up, as we've said, with all of the inside baseball about the movie biz and the sports industry and living in LA and all of this stuff that only a very, very small contingent of the planet actually gives a flying fuck about or has any connection to.
Yeah.
And that's why it drags, because when they're going on those fucking, you know, fourth wall breaking rants about fucking sponsorship deals and sports calendars and shit like that, you know, I don't care. Can you get back to the fighting, please? Like, you've only got 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, how many times did you get the same joke about, or a variation on the same joke about the agent ripping them off and sort of getting them a shit deal? Mm. I said, we've done that. We did that last episode and earlier this episode, and somebody else said it as well. I said, yeah, we get it. You got screwed.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, it's terrible. And then there's repeated jokes about the agent getting the girls on like a swimsuit calendar and stuff like that, which, like, come on. Really? Does he have to be that kind of sleaze? I know he's an agent, but that's just such.
But again, it's that poking fun, isn't it? It's that, look how they're all fucking assholes, and the fact he's designed to look like Paul Heyman from the 90s didn't really help either.
No, he's a very stereotypical 90s movie agent, isn't he, or sports agent as this is. But then also there's the fact that, like, we've established that they're the only talking ducks on the planet, and they are ducks, right? And they're in human world, so. Do we need to go into bestiality, really? Because that's where you're going with that. That's a very fine line with that gag. That's where you're going.
Yeah.
Like,
the other thing I did pick up, actually, which I forgot to mention earlier on, is that the whole thing is that they're from this other planet, this other universe, whatever, where hockey is like their way of life, and they've come in. Every week they have a game, and they fucking scrape it by one right at the death. They aren't fucking good.
Yeah, no, they're really not
From the way it's set up, they should be like the best team ever.
But I think the problem is that the team before them, the Frogs, were like, it's in the open episode, isn't it? They're like on a losing streak. They're really on the skid. So the Ducks come in, and they just wipe the floor with everybody.
Well, but that's the thing. They don't wipe the floor with everybody. They squeak it every fucking time.
Yeah, but compared to the Frogs.
In fact, they actually score and they actually win. Yeah,
and they actually win games. But again, it's because that element of the show isn't really explored, is it? You know, if we were to explore that more and go into the hockey of it, and you would really go into those games, and it would be a back and forth and what have you, and, you know, tie them into the story, which is what really needs to fucking happen.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having a fucking, you know, big team battle on a fucking wasteland or an alien moon or a fucking D&D game or whatever it's going to be, those conflicts need to happen on the ice.
Yeah.
Like, if, you know, Dragonis needs to have his own hockey team.
Yeah.
That's, and they can be in disguise if you want. The bad guys can be in disguise, but that's, if it's going to be about hockey, it needs to be about hockey.
Yeah. And they kind of tried to bed it in, I think it was the third episode where, Nosedive and Duke were fighting over the girl.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of started it where they're in a hockey match and they won't pass to each other, and they both try to take a shot at the same time and they end up fucking up. And so it's this whole thing where they're not working together as a team, and then you get, we're trying to bring it together, and that's all fine. But yeah, it's that type of thing where you say, actually, you can involve more of what your concept is, these hockey playing alien ducks, build it into the hockey. I don't know if you'd remember it, because I know you're not a football fan, but there was a show around about 93, 94 on ITV called Hurricanes.
I was trying to think of the name of it. We've just been having this conversation, I was like, what's the fucking football one?
Yeah. They did a lot of that there. So you had, you know, Hurricanes were your main team, but then the teams they were up against, there were half a dozen teams they always played against.
Yeah.
But one of them was owned by like a rival, so whatever was going on in the episode was also going on the field. Mm. And so that would predate this by about 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And it shows that it can be done, and it can be done quite effectively. Now, don't get me wrong, that's another one of those shows that we may need to look at some point, because I haven't seen it in 30 years.
I remember it. I'd forgotten it existed until we just started having this conversation. Now I remember it vividly, even the theme tune.
Yeah.
I did used to watch that. I'm not a football fan, but I did used to watch Hurricanes. I do remember it. But yeah, there's that. You know, see also Speed Racer, where you'd work the other racing teams in.
Yes.
And, you know, even like if you want to take it to the nth degree and go to the movie side of it, see Space Jam and everything that was coming out at this time. Like, you can do this. Like, you can work. There are ways that you can work this sport into your narrative and keep your conflict there. And that holds all of this together much better.
Yeah.
You know? But they don't do that because it's, you know, it's got to be about all the movie biz and stuff as well. And it's got to be about the freedom fighters. And it's just...
Yeah, it's too much.
Stop. Like, somebody just decide what you want to do. Like, if you wanted to make it, you know, with vigilante hockey players, it didn't even really have to be ducks, did they?
No.
But then, you know, ducks probably easier to draw and animate than humans. That's probably what that is.
Also, there was also a vigilante in a hockey mask on another show about anthropomorphic animals.
There was. And there's connotation there, isn't there, when you've got the hockey mask and everything as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you can kind of see it. It makes it more family-friendly. But it's just, as I said, it's too much for me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Way, way, way too much. Particularly because, as I say, I was an older teen watching it anyway. And I'm certainly now a middle-aged man watching it. And I'm just going like, no, it's not for me.
Yeah, no, I was the same. And I think that having now done like half a dozen episodes, I don't need to do any more. And this is something that... It's been on the list for a while, and I kind of get why we hadn't got around to it.
Yeah, me too. As always, I'm glad we watched it, but I never ever need to watch it again.
Yeah, but I think on the flip side, it's inoffensive enough that were it to flick on a kid's channel at some point and it was on, I wouldn't turn it off.
Yeah, me either. I agree. I wouldn't turn it off. I would never go looking for it though.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to summarize it. I would love to know what people thought of the show, because I mean, I know there are some, I mean, from the very limited research I have done, there are some people who fucking loved this.
I bet there are.
So if you are listening, please get in touch, let us know what your thoughts are and what your recollections are and why it is that you love it, because you know, this obviously all of this is subjective, and you know, we've come at it with a particular lens and you might have a different one, so by all means let us know what we're missing or what you've got out of it. But yeah, please get in touch on Twitter at SMPDpod. You can go to our website, ddpodcast.net, where you can also get other episodes of this show and our other shows. Wherever you get your podcast from, subscribe, leave a message, and we'll get back to you as best we can. Until next time.
See you later.